Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13. We're actually going to read 13 through 15. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, please move rapidly. Yes. Bible says, Gospel of Luke, someone in the crowd said to him, being Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Lord, we come before you this morning. A messed up people, Lord. Making poor choices. Needing to be redirected, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us in these next minutes, Lord. That you would bring an anointing to speak, an anointing to hear, Lord. That your Holy Spirit, Lord, would touch hearts. Change lives, Lord. And prepare us for what comes ahead, Lord. We give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. We are going to be talking about choices today. Values today. My son recently purchased this fine hat, and he was enamored with the skyline of Los Angeles that was on the bill. He said, "Dad, isn't this the coolest hat that you've ever seen?" And I said, "I don't know, son. How much did you pay for it?" And he said, $30. Yeah, see, that's the response that I had. Then the second response that I had was, what in the world is a Los Angeles Dodgers emblem doing on his hat? I mean, there are so many messed up things about this hat. Now, I want to let you know, that, I mean, it's like I almost make him take it back, but he took the price tag off. I said, "I don't care, we're going to make him take it back anyway." I was at a Padres game last year. And hopefully we'll be able to get some Padres tickets for several of the games this year for us to go for free. And I saw this shirt. And there's only one thing I want to see a Los Angeles Dodgers emblem on. And that is this shirt right here. And I covet this shirt. I've been looking. I want to get me one. So if you want to bless your pastor and you see that shirt in an extra large, you pick that out, I will give you money for it. Not $30, though. No, we're looking for less than 30. This hat is wrong in so many ways, and so many of us are wrong in so many ways. I am hoping and praying that today that you would receive something from the Lord, that you could grab onto something and at least change one thing. Take one thing that is currently wrong in your life and make a change and make that right. Jesus talking to this man. Jesus talking to his disciples in this crowd. We're going to move through the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke today. And this guy asked him a question, and Jesus is wanting him to get it right. He is wanting us to get it right. And you're sitting here today, and you say, "Yeah, I got so much messed up stuff in my life. How can I get right?" And Jesus would tell us that we need to live our lives with a focus on the kingdom of God. We're in a series on the kingdom of God. And for us to get a proper focus on the kingdom, we need to have a proper picture of the kingdom. The title of today's message, it's not there, is A Picture of the Kingdom of God. I'm hoping you get a better one today. This guy comes up and he asks Jesus a question. And actually, he makes a demand of Jesus, right? And I don't know how it works. Jesus! You know, he's yelling out from the crowd, right? "Jesus, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." You know, I don't know, maybe come up. He's kind of like, "Hey, Jesus, I got a hookup for you. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I'll take care of you." I don't know, maybe he brought his brother before the Lord. And he says, "Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus responds to God, and he says, "Guy, you're asking the wrong question." He says, "Who made me a judge between you two? Who placed me as an arbitrator between you two?" He says, but let me give you something. He says, you watch out for greed. Now, especially, I mean, that's really impacting if there's both of them standing there, right? You guys watch out for greed, because greed will get you in the end. He says, all kinds of greed. Greed is the root of all kinds of evil. Watch out for greed. Today we're going to talk about values, specifically about what you value, specifically about what you feel is important. And we're going to take a look at the question, do you value God or do you value all this stuff that's around us? What do you value today? Some of you are saying, well, I value God. How many of you say, I value God? Oh, I value God. Well, I have a question for you. How much you put in the offering today? Now, some of you guys are visitors today. Ask somebody next to you. I don't talk about money a lot. I don't talk about offerings a lot. But today we're going to talk about values. And you can tell, if you're a visitor today, we don't need anything in the offering from you today. You're a visitor today, we got lunch for you today. Everybody else has got to pay. We're getting rich on them. We charge them a dollar for a hamburger. You know, you can't even beat that at McDonald's, you know. But you guys are my guests today. We want you to hang out. Jimmy's grilling up hot links, sausages, all kinds. It's good, right? Can I get a witness on that? Yeah, so you got to come and hang out. We don't need an offering from you. We want to feed you today. But the word of the Lord, I hope, impacts you today, because we're going to talk about values. We're talking about what's important to you, and we're going to talk about how to tell what's important to you. Because every day, our choices display how important the kingdom of God is to each one of us in this room. Amen?
Amen.
We okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to mention money today. All right. Let's take a look. Here we go. All right. And I do want that shirt. If somebody wants to get blessed the pastor, you can do that. All right. Luke 12, 16 through 18. He told them this parable. This goes right after what he's talking about. Watch out for greed, okay? He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I've got no place to store this crop. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to tear down all my barns and build builder ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. Talking about, we think we know's best, and everybody knows that bigger is better. Hey, Mike, do me one favor, bud. Would you turn that fan off for me? Thank you. All right, it makes a little noise back in there. Parable starts off with a man who's already rich. Already rich. That's an important part. Guy has already got what he needs. Can I get a witness on that? All right, we're talking about a rich man. And he's got land, he's got barns, and he uses the barns to store his crops. Now, I know about that because my uncle is a farmer, and he's got massive hay barns. This is a hay barn similar to my uncle's hay. And he can. I got no clue how much. He's got three of them. And it costs like $30,000 or $40,000 to build one. I think it might even be more. And he takes the tractors and stuff and just loads that hay in there, and he sells it in the winter. And there's snow on the ground, and he's got all of his hay sitting in his barns, and these guys with horses come and buy his hay. This guy is a farmer. This guy has a bumper crop. That's wheat, a grain of some sort. I don't know what he was growing, but he had so much of a crop that he could not store it in his barns. And so what he's going to do is, because of this incredible crop, he's going to change his entire operation. He says, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to go to the next scale. And he's going to rework everything so that he can amass more stuff. And the point of this whole story, more stuff is not what this guy needs. Let's take a look. He says, and I'll say to myself, so the guy continues on, I'm going to store all my stuff, and I'm going to say to myself, self, you've got plenty of good things laid around. for many years, take life easy. Doesn't that sound good? Eat, drink, and be merry. Hallelujah. But God said to him, the Lord said to him, you fool. You know, Roki told me today that the Lord spoke to his heart. Aaron talked about the Lord speaking to his heart in the shower this morning. Gail talked about the Lord speaking to her heart. When the Lord speaks to my heart, I don't want to hear him say, you fool. You fool! This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? And folks, sometimes we just know what's best. And sometimes we are just heading in the wrong direction. This man's life is focused on obtaining stuff. And he gets so much stuff that he wants to just stop his working and he wants to eat, drink, and be merry. He wants to party. No more work now. I just want to party. I just want to have fun. You want to go to Las Vegas? You're going to have fun. You're going to go to Viejas. You're going to have fun. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I'm working for. I'm working for the weekend. And Jesus says, this view of life is only going to take you so far. Why? It's not going to work for this guy, this rich guy, because he's not taking everything into consideration. And oftentimes we don't take everything into consideration. Why? Change is coming. This guy's going to die. Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us is in the process of dying today. The question is, how long is it going to take? Now, he doesn't even say, Jesus doesn't say the guy's going to die. If you look at it, I still got it up here? Yeah. He says, your life is going to be demanded from you. It's kind of a weird way to say you're going to die. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. And you know what he talks about? It's almost like he's talking about a transaction. God is talking to him, your life is going to be demanded. Thomas, give me your life. And all the wealth that he has worked his life to amass is not going to help him one bit in this transaction. He's saying it's not going to end good for this rich man. Jesus gives us a little bit more clarity in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I talk about living with an eye on what's going to happen to you 100 years from today. Wow. That'll change. Change how you think. Every one of us is dying. Some people come up, I'm dying. It's like, what, is that a surprise to you? Like, what'd you, are you ready for the transaction? I got a friend, Pastor Dave and I have a friend. He retired from the Navy. He was too young to get his retirement, so he went to go work for the city. He had a boat, went fishing, did all this kind of stuff. He was working, just counting the days until he could retire from the city. He's got his health care. He's got everything set up and all that kind of stuff. He retired from the city, and his wife bought him a top-of-the-line Harley-Davidson. It's like the good life, man. Harley-Davidson, big old boat in the driveway. And his knees went bad. And he could barely walk. And they didn't know what it was. And he's going to have surgery on his knees and surgery on his hips and all this kind of stuff. And then, I don't know if it's related or not, but then he gets a problem with a vertebrae in his neck and he can't even get out of bed. He's been working all of his life. He's got two retirements saved up. He's got stuff in the garage. He's getting ripped off. He's getting ripped off by life. Lord says, you're not taking everything into consideration. Your focus is wrong. It's not going to work for you. And so I have this question for you today. Where is your focus? Is your focus on the kingdom of God? Let me ask you another question. So how much did you put in the offering? That'll let you know where your focus is. Some of you are thinking, just lighten up on the offering, would you? This is what Jesus says. Talking about the rich guy. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. My job is to prepare you guys for heaven. And some of you guys are not ready. Some of you guys, if Jesus came right now, it would not be good. Boy, it's a little heavy in here today. You know, let's just move right on. Point number two, Jesus gives us a better way. It's like, woo, get off the offering, get off the hell, all that stuff. Let's talk about a better way. Here we go. Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, don't worry about your life. And you're going, oh, finally, some good news. There we go. What you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And Jesus says, you guys need to make sure that you keep your priorities straight. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. He gives us some examples. He talks in the following verses. He talks about, well, here, clothing and food. He says, my Father will clothe you like he clothes the lilies of the field. He'll feed you the way he feeds the birds of the air. You don't have to sweat this kind of stuff. You don't have to sweat your life. What was the farmer worried about? His life. What was the guy who wanted the inheritance worried about? His life, right? And Jesus said, don't worry about your life. They're saying, wait a minute. Whoa, I'm a little confused here, man. I'm working hard, raising my kids, all that kind of stuff. Right, you got an improper picture of the kingdom. You get a right focus on the kingdom of God, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better provider. Can I get a witness on that? Come on, can I get a witness on that, please? Hey. Jesus says, our Father in heaven is going to take care of you. He says, in the same way he provides for the birds and the flowers, you are on his list. And then Jesus gives the key to the provision of God. Anybody interested in what that is? How do I get God to provide for me? Amen? Amen. Over there? Anybody? Just Sandra. The rest of you guys don't care. Oh, Timothy. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Jesus says, seek his kingdom, and all these things are going to be given to you as well. Seek these things. Seek his kingdom. And all these things will be given to you as well. If you put your eyes on the kingdom, then all the stuff that you're worried about will be provided to you, and you don't have to worry. See, when you put your eyes on the kingdom, it's like you get double duty. You're getting ready for that transaction, and you get the provision for today. Now, doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
It's a little slow today. You're still worried about that offering. I'm going to talk about the offering for a little while. All right. Jesus gives a better way. People should be ready to serve. Oh, now he's going to talk about serving. Let's go talk about the offering. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Like the man waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, immediately they open the door and say, come on in, master. We're ready for you. We've been waiting all night. You've been having a good old time doing the rich master stuff. And when you got back, we're ready to do our stuff. We have been waiting, and we are ready to serve. He says, so that when he comes and knocks, he can immediately open the door for him. See, the kingdom of God is a better way for us to live. It is a different way for us to live. Jesus is talking to this guy who's saying, divide the inheritance with me. And he says, you need to live your life in a way that you are serving. He's like, wait a minute, I want dad's money. Serving is not on my mind right now. He's saying, yeah, that's why you got an improper picture of the kingdom of God. Because a proper picture is a picture of service. Jesus wants us to live prepared lives, lives that are ready to serve. He knocks. They're ready. My question for you, Aaron said, God spoke to me this morning. I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. The devil's going, you're too busy. He's going, get out of here, devil. Lord, how am I going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to follow you. Are you ready to follow the Lord? Had somebody else say, you know what? The Lord spoke to me this morning. And I'm telling you about it. Not today, not right now. I don't know how it's going to work out. But God put a burden in my heart. Wow, this is freaking me out because I'm seeing all kinds of confirmations around here. I'm ready to serve. How about you? When God knocks on the door of your heart and says, are you ready? Are you ready? He says, I got this thing for you. Are you ready to serve? I was like, oh, man, I got too much stuff going on today, Lord. You know, I'm just showing up around here to get. Jesus goes on to say in this story that in preparedness, there's also protection. When you're prepared to serve, you are also protected from attack. He describes that a thief will come in and break into the house when the servants aren't prepared. So not only aren't they ready when the master comes back, but a thief comes in and rips them off. When the master comes back, oh, we got ripped off, man. What were you doing? Sleeping. You were supposed to be ready waiting for me. If you were ready waiting for me, you would have been protected. And I tell you what, too many of us are living lives getting ripped off because we're not ready to serve. And the enemy comes along and takes our feet out from under us and we're sitting there laying down and go, what happened? The Lord says, you weren't ready. It's dangerous out there, folks. And you need to live life ready. Jesus says, okay, there's provision when you're ready. There's protection when you're ready. And there's reward when you're ready. He says, it's going to be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. You think Jesus is lying there? I don't know that he really has to say, I'm telling you the truth. Because he wouldn't lie anyway. Amen? It's like, oh, Jesus didn't say he's telling the truth, so he's really lying. No. But anyway, he says, I'm telling you the truth. You can bank on this. He says, I tell you the truth. When he will dress himself, who? The master. The master will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. Now, I'm telling you, folks, that is a real nice picture of heaven to me. Kingdom of God is a kingdom of service. A kingdom of serving and being served. Lupe sitting back there, her mom, Irma, many of you might not know, she often works on the weekends. And we had this masa that was going out, and I was talking how I was going to make this stuff. And I made these like quesadillas out of this masa. It was nasty. Oh, bad. Threw it away. And she brought me a plate of, what did she bring me a plate of? What do you call them things? Sopes. Oh, man. I was supposed to eat that stuff. I was eating it up. It is good. It's so nice to come around here. I mean, I love to work. I do. I love to work. I come around here and serve you guys and then just get blessed. Blessed by you. We had a problem with our plumbing this week. I called Mike. I said, Mike, dude, you working right now? We had a problem with this plumbing. Came right down. Bam. Fixed it right up. It is such a blessing. You see, the kingdom of God, serving and being served. It's just a beautiful picture. When you show up to take, man, you stand out like a sore thumb. And everybody sees it. You won't get past that transaction. You show up to take. How about you? Are you a giver? Or are you a taker? What'd you put in the offering? So you can tell where your focus is by your choices. Your choices are a display of your values. What'd you put in the offering? That's the problem. It shows where our focus is. The kingdom of God is performance driven. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us? But Peter, like, you know, not the head disciple, one of them. Are you talking to us? We're on the inside, right, Jesus? We don't got to sweat this stuff. We're cool with you. You're cool with us. This is for the rest of them. Jesus answered, again with a question. Who's the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Which one? He says, talking about the management, same type of style, talk, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be good for that servant, that manager. It's going to be good for that manager, that servant, whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he's going to put him in charge of all his possessions. And there is opportunity for advancement. But the Lord is calling Aaron to preparation. Called Gail to have impact in this Bible study. And she's having it. And moving some of you guys around. The kingdom of God, there is room for advancement. It is a mobile kingdom. Can I get a witness on that? Where you're at today, you're not supposed to be there in 5 months, 6 months, 10 months. You're supposed to be having more. He says, if you're faithful with what you got, I got more. Aaron said, I don't know how I'm going to go to Bible college. But he's calling me for preparation for more ministry. And I'm trusting him. Where's his focus? Focus is on the kingdom. Amen? Help me now. The job he's talking about, hey, just show up and feed the other guys. Not real complex. Natty, you do a great job of that, by the way. But hey, we take the food we got, we cook it up, and we serve it up. We do a lot of food stuff here. A lot of people serve. A lot of people just show up to get. It's plain as day which one you are. The choices you make, the way you behave, they are a display of your values. And he says there's a danger. Watch out. You can begin to view the master's property as your own. You can begin to view the kingdom as a place for you to gain rather than to serve. Let me show you where he says that. He says, suppose that servant, which servant? The one who's serving the food. Says, my master's taking a long time in coming back. He begins to beat the servants, the men servants and the maid servants, and he begins to eat and drink and get drunk. Master's not around. I can just do what I want. Eat, drink, and get drunk. Sounds just like that farmer. Eat, drink, and be merry. Focus is on me. Our values are on display. Everything you do displays your values. We just move right on, folks. In the kingdom, failure is an option. Just because you're here today doesn't mean you're in. Like Peter said, hey, is this for us or for everyone? We're in. He said, no. He says, that master who comes back and finds his servant eating and drinking and drunk, beating the manservants and the maidservants, the master of that servant's going to come on a day when he's not expecting him. Probably be loaded. Probably be doing something he's not supposed to be doing. And the master shows up and says, what are you doing? And he says, oh, it's okay. I'm a graceful and merciful God. I'm going to cut you some slack today. Oh, but that's not what it says up there, is it? See, I got up there in Spanish, too. He says, oh, no, he's going to cut them to pieces and assign them the place with the unbelievers. Why would he do that? Because his choices display his values. And you can put a con on me. And you can put a con on some of the people around here, but it's usually pretty plain what you're doing. But you can never put a con on God. He knows your heart. Guy comes back, and manager comes back, the owner comes back, master comes back, and he says, "You got the wrong focus, son. You're getting selfish. Your eyes are just on you. You're just all about you, what you want and what you need." Every image that Jesus has given us in chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke, there is a warning of failure. The rich farmer, his life was demanded of him, and he was not ready. The servants needed to be ready. The thief came, showed up, ripped them off. The manager needs to be ready for the master, or destruction comes. In the kingdom, failure is an option, folks. We don't like to hear that today. In our culture, let's have free health care, free food. We just have lunches and dinners and breakfasts for our kids in our schools. Hey, you know what? We're just supposed to be cared for. Nobody's supposed to fail. We're supposed to have a job. Where's my job? Obama, where's my job? I'm owed a job. I'm owed citizenship. I'm owed all kinds of stuff. God says, you got the wrong picture of the kingdom. Do you think that's the way it works in heaven? My son going to pay for your sin with his blood? That's just not a get-out-of-jail-free card for everybody. In these same pictures that Jesus gives, there is an opportunity for security. There's an option. Failure is an option, but security is provided. All you have to do is do your job and you'll be fine. Now, doesn't that sound good? All you have to do is do your job. Be on guard. Be on focus. Keep your eye on the kingdom and you will be just fine. I'll make provision for you. I got your clothing. I got your food. I got all kinds of stuff. All you got to do is do your job. Your kingdom job, responsive to the kingdom of God. And you have got nothing to fear from the master. He's going to show him and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." All you got to do is be doing your job, ready to serve, be ready to answer the call. And when the thief shows up, you've got nothing to be worried about. Why? Because you see him coming. So failure's an option, but security is there if you're focused. Is on the kingdom of God. If you got the right picture. So my question for you today, how about you? Are you ready? If your life was demanded today, are you ready? Say, "I don't know if I'm ready. How can I possibly know?" Again, the Lord does not want us to live in confusion or unnecessary concern. Verse 34, chapter 12. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So I'm wondering today, where is your treasure? You see, God wants your heart. When he gets your heart, he gets your hands too. And you can see what you're doing with your hands to know where your heart is. And that's where the Lord makes it. He says, "Look what you're doing. You're in confusion. Ask some people around you. Am I sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ?" They say, "Oh, yeah." Or, "I don't know. I'm not seeing it." What do people say about you? What's the Lord say about you? Are you ready? What are you doing with your hands? See, a lot of us have in our hands the wrong stuff. We're loaded down with stuff that we don't need. He says, "What good is it if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? It's no good at all. Your stuff isn't going to handle it in heaven. Your stuff isn't going to manage a transaction that comes at the end of your life. Where your treasure is, your heart is going to be there as well." So where's your heart today? Where's your treasure today? You can tell with what you do with your hands. Some of you are holding on some things that you got to let go of. Some of you have got some selfish stuff going on in your life. All about me. And right now, the Lord is just speaking clearly to your heart. He's saying, I'm glad you came to church today. Had that good worship time so none of you would walk out. Because there's stuff in your life that is displeasing to me. Some of you are holding on to sin. There's some stuff that you just need to lay down. You just need to lay some stuff down before the Lord today. Some of you are in a sexual relationship that the Lord is not pleased with. Some of you are in several sexual relationships that the Lord is not pleased with. And He's saying, choose me or choose the world. I want you to understand that you're making a choice already. You're choosing poorly. Some of you are living a lie. Your life is polluted. And the Lord right now is upon you and He's saying, my child, I'll cleanse you from all that stuff, but you got to lay down the lie. Time to get right, trying to stop trying to con everybody. Because everybody sees through you. And I'm letting you right now know that they see through you and I see through you. And it's not going to work for you when your life is demanded. You're not going to put a game on me. You'll get chopped up and placed with the unbelievers. Some of you have got a sin in your life. I don't know what it is. But the Lord right now is all over you saying, oh, that's what it is right there. And you need to come and you need to lay it down before the Lord. Lisa's coming up. She's going to play a song for us. Some of you today, just like Aaron, just like the guy that talked to me earlier, just like Gail, the Lord is saying, it's time for you to be busy. It's time for you to serve. I have been calling you and you have had no time for me. He says, I want you to serve me. I'm going to close in just a minute. If you guys could just chill for a minute. Devil will just kind of bring some distraction right now. It'd be like 3 or 4 minutes if you could. Lord, right now, is speaking to some of your hearts, just like He spoke to Aaron. The words that when Aaron spoke, said, man, He's telling me that. I got something for you to do. I got more for you to do. You know, we want to promote Natty out of the kitchen. We can't find anybody working in the kitchen. Take that kitchen over. Talking to somebody's heart. We got so many opportunities to serve around here. Nursery, all kinds of stuff. In the food ministry. Pastor Dave runs a drug rehab program back in Minnesota. Wouldn't it be fabulous to have a drug rehab program here? Christian-based, people getting right with God. Lord's speaking to your heart this morning. I know it. I love it when everybody's echoing the same thing. We haven't even talked about the sermon yet. Everybody's preaching it. Holy Ghost is preaching it. Lord Jesus, we come before You this morning. Lord, and I know across this place right now, there is a feeling of conviction, Lord. As You move on people's hearts and You move on people's lives, Lord, and You're saying, I am not pleased. My blood will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you got to let go of this aspect in your life. I opened up today saying, I hope there's one thing that you can change that right now that God is not pleased with, that He would do a transformation in you and you would say, Lord, I'm going to lay that down today. Just like, Pastor, lay that hat down. I'm going to lay it down, Lord. I'm going to lay it down at Your feet. I be transformed in my life, Lord. I don't know what's coming next, Lord. I'm just like Aaron. I don't know what's coming next, Lord, but I'm laying that down today. See, that's like that little kid. Daddy. Daddy. Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Lord is speaking to you right now. And you're just going to say, just like that little kid, Daddy, I'll lay it down. Nobody's looking around, and we're not going to be quite done yet, but nobody's looking around. the Lord is just speaking right to your heart, and you know specifically He is putting a move on your heart, and you know exactly what He wants you to lay down. And in this moment, you're going to say, Lord, I'll do that. I'll be obedient to You this morning. I'm going to do it, Lord. I don't know how. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to tell some people. I'm going to get some help. But Lord, I know that You are not pleased with this in my life, and I will make a change. I'm going to lay this down. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise a hand and say, that's me this morning. Here and here. Here and here. Here, here, here. Anybody else say, that's me, that's me. Put your hand down. I saw most of you. Over here, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got saved, man. Pastor said, stand up. I said, no way, I'm not standing up. And then he said, I'm going to wait just one more moment. Don't miss this opportunity. The Lord is speaking to your heart. You didn't put your hand up before, and He's all over you. Saying, Lord, here I am. I'll do it. I'll do it. Just, you didn't put your hand up before, and you're saying, that's me. Back there. So anybody else? Anybody else? Say, one more. Right there. Hallelujah. 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 Right here. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, for these here, Lord, the presence of Your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord, guiding us to make changes and transformations in our lives, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You would cement, Lord, this transaction that happened today, Lord. We speak to these people's hearts, Lord, and they say, okay, I'm going to walk into that. I'm going to walk into that. We have a chance where we sing to come up and pray. I want you guys to come up. There are some folks that are feeling pretty good right now. Lord, right now is saying your hand is empty. Or your hand is empty and fill it. Or He's saying, I got more for you. It's time to move on up. And He's saying, I am so pleased with you, my child. But I have something I want you to do for me. Are you willing? Are you ready? Are you going to answer? It says, child, I've got something for you. I need you to serve. Nobody's looking around. But you are encouraged right now. You're saying, Lord, oh, whatever you got. I want whatever you have. Call me tomorrow. I'm willing to take that. Nobody's looking around. Lord, speaking to your heart, I just want you to just raise your hand and say, that's me, hallelujah. Right here and here, here and there, there, here, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand. What song are you singing, Lisa? At the foot of the cross? We're going to sing this. You want prayer? I just want you to just move out. Just come on up. I want to pray with you. Maybe you want to come down to just this altar and just begin to lay some things down. So I want you to just come and you can just kneel at this altar. We'll pray with you. We let you pray along. But come on up. Let's us worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.